side. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you will, in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 17th chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to just look at one passage of Scripture here. 1 Samuel 17, and we'll come out of the whole thing. Verse 28, 29. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to these men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? Is not there a cause?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, just guide us in what we think and say, and God will give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Everybody likes to cheer for the underdog, don't we? We like to see the little guy win sometimes. But throughout our lives, many times we find ourselves in situations that we are like the underdog, where the odds are way against us in life and we don't know how to deal with them. But we'd like to beat the odds and face the situations and the challenges that we have every day. And the opposition that we face every day in this life is great. And so many times we think our resources are limited, and it looks like there's no possible way that we're going to win. Have you ever felt that way? Something is so great, some crisis in our life is so great that we wonder, how in the world are we ever going to make it through? Well, this is the story that you find in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. A young man, David, taking on a giant, Goliath. Have you ever thought about that? A young man. We see the crisis that he faced. Tonight we're going to look at the critics that came his way and the challenges in life. First, I want you to think about the story, the crisis that the Israelites faced. The Israelites were at war with the Philistines. Now, Priest Wah told us about going to Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. That was one of the greatest trips I've ever been on in my life. I've been just about to every country or every state in the United States, except Hawaii, and one day I hope to be able to go there. But I've seen some beautiful sights. But to walk where Jesus walked, to see the things that were there and the things that Jesus did, and heard the stories and read the Bible, oh, that was a great thing. So if you get an opportunity to go, you ought to go. One of the places we went down was where David hid from Saul. But Goliath was challenging the Israelites to fight, and the Israelites were facing a crisis, and they felt like there was no way that they could win. They were, once again, like the Old Testament says, they were like grasshoppers. They were small in their size. The crisis was larger than life itself. This man named Goliath was there. If you look over in verse 4, you kind of get a idea of what he was. He was a huge man. You talk about indestructible. this man would have looked like, you know, a little child standing up against Tom. You know, that's how big he was. And as far as the Israelites were concerned, Goliath just couldn't be defeated. They felt like they were already defeated. And a lot of times, we feel the same way. When we face in our life a tragedy or a crisis, or when the doctor comes out and says that you've got cancer or you've got a heart problem, we just feel like we can't make it through this situation. Sometimes maybe it's a financial problem. A lot of people have financial problems. We wonder how in the world we're going to make it through this next president, whoever it might be. How are we going to make it through the coming days? And it seems like our problems are so big that there's no matter what we do, we're going to be the underdog. We're not going to make it. It seems like the circumstances are so big and we're so small. Well, the crisis defies our power. Teddy said, wonder-working power. There's power in the blood. Wonder-working power. Now, that is what the giants look like to us. We want things to go smooth in our life. I like things to go smooth. Don't you like it without any trouble? I just wish I had 1 week without any trouble. It'd be such a great thing, I think, as on the vacation, if we just have 1 week without problems. You know, and that's possible. It is possible to go through and not have any problems. But, you know, most of the time, a crisis comes along and we find ourselves completely helpless. We seem like we have no power. Now, it can be a problem at work. It can be a problem at our home. It can be a problem trying to defeat a bad habit. It can have a member of our family die, or one of our relatives die, and we wonder how these things we're going to make it through. And they remind us that in life, we're very powerless. There's really nothing we can do. And the crisis won't go away. Old Goliath was there. He was taunting them every morning and calling out, "Where is your man to come fight me?" And he makes a deal with him. He said, "Listen, you get one man against me. If he can kill me, then we'll be your servants. If not, you'll be our servants." The crisis just wouldn't go away. They stood out there day after day after day, and that problem was still there. He wasn't going anywhere. And now, you know what? When we have a problem sometimes, we pretend like it's not there. You ever had a problem in your life and you just didn't want to think about it? You said, "Well, I just pray like it's not there." But you know what? It's still there, isn't it? You haven't dealt with it. Whether it's a financial problem or a marriage problem in your life, failure to communicate somewhere down the line, they're not just inconveniences, they're problems in life. And there's warnings in our health, you know. The doctor tell you, you know, if you keep going the way you are, you're going to have a heart attack. Or if you keep going the way you are, you're going to have sugar diabetes. And that's not a little inconvenience, that's a health problem. And a lot of times, if you're like me, you want to ignore that problem, amen? My doctor says sometimes, if you don't lose the weight, you're going to have diabetes. And I'm thinking, man, diabetes is not so bad if you don't. You're going to have to miss all that food. You have to weigh them out, you know, which is worse. But, you know, it's not an inconvenience. It's a real problem. And Goliath had a real problem. The Israelites had a real problem with this man called Goliath. Now, David responded to the crisis in verse 26. David spoke to the men and stood by him saying, "What shall be done for this man who kills this Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel?" The best response to a crisis, I believe, is found in God's word that's bigger than any problem that we'll ever face, is to face that crisis with God head on. Folks, the problems don't go away. You just need to face those problems head on and say, with God, I can do all things. That's what David did. He said, is there not just one man amongst all the Israelites that will face Goliath? Well, he said he would. Now, the moment you do something in a crisis, the moment you stand up for God, guess what? You're going to get criticized. The critics were there. If you try to do anything worthwhile, you'll always have to endure some criticism. There's somebody going to criticize you. As soon as David began to talk about defeating Goliath, you know what his brother said? Here comes the criticism from within. His brother said, listen, who's taking care of those sheep up in the wilderness? Now, folks, that's a strange criticism, isn't it? Here's a man named Goliath wanting to fight, wanting to shouting out reproach against the Israelites. And David speaks up and says, isn't there a cause? Don't we have a cause? And his brother begins to criticize him for leaving the sheep. Well, David was not the first man to ever get criticized. If you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find that Noah was criticized, Moses was criticized. In the New Testament, Paul was criticized, Peter and Jesus. Everyone that does a work for God, and let me tell you something, if you're trying to do a work for God, more than likely, you'll have some criticism your way. That's the way people work. Now, David's brother is a typical critic. He tries to put the attention off of himself onto somebody else and on something. And you know what David did? He just ignored it. Now, let me tell you something, folks. We have to ignore those that criticize us many times. It's not worth dealing with. People are always going to be critical towards you. Now, you can let it flow off your shoulder like water on a duck's back, or you can carry around a grudge towards those people. But realize this, that critics have the amazing ability to focus on the trivial things while you're trying to do the crucial things. Now, David was going to stand up for God, and his brother was messing around with the trivial of keeping the sheep. I never will forget a pastor said a lady criticized him for the way he did evangelism. He was trying to win souls for Christ and talking about Jesus Christ, and this lady stopped him and said, preacher, I don't like the way you do evangelism. And he said, well, ma'am, how many souls have you won this last year? And she said, well, I hadn't won any. And he said, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you do it. You see, people will always criticize you're doing something. David's reproach to the critics, he just turned away from his brother and kept on going with the same matter. In verse 30, he said, don't we have a cause? And then he turned aside from him towards another and said the same thing. He just kept saying, listen, this man Goliath's got to be dealt with. He refused to be swayed by criticism. Now, when we're working in a church, doing something for God, no matter what you do, and somebody criticizes you, don't give them the ear to listen to it. Don't say anything, just go on doing what you know is right. You see, he wouldn't give up on his dream of defeating Goliath. And if you're doing something for God, rest assured, there's somebody in the church, somebody somewhere is going to criticize you, so disregard them and continue going forward for Christ. Don't get mad. Don't quit. Just continue doing what God has called you to do. Man, I tell you what, I'd have quit years ago if I had listened to all the criticism. And every time somebody criticized the way we tried to do something, oh, preacher, we can't do that. Never done that before. Well, we're doing it now. We're going to do it now. And then the contest. He got into the battle. Before this, he was just a little kid with big ideas. Think about that. David was out tending to the sheep. He's a little kid with big ideas. But when he lined up against Goliath, guess what? He was taken seriously. He was taken seriously. David established the terms of the battle. Now, here's the story, and you listen to it. The contest was Goliath was going to fight anyone that came out from the Israelites. Well, David said, I'll fight him. I'll take up the cause for Christ. Well, immediately, old Saul said, you know what? Put on my armor on him. Now, I'm wondering, the whole army is a bunch of cowards, evidently. They don't want anything to do with this Goliath. But here's little David. He starts putting on the armor, and he immediately realized, you know, I can't hold all this stuff up. This stuff is heavy. This is for a man, and I'm just a young lad or a young boy. And he said, no, he took it off. And he said, you know, I fought the bear, and I fought a lion protecting the sheep, and God is my strength, and God is my helper. And the Bible says he took his slingshot on his terms and five smooth stones and a sling. He knew that the only way to meet the challenge was doing what he did best. Folks, the only way to handle criticism is to keep on doing what you do best. Keep on. Keep on doing for the Lord what you do best. We have people in this church, they're just good at doing things. I appreciate every one of them. And I hope nobody's been criticizing you. But probably sooner or later, somewhere down the line, somebody will criticize you. But keep on working. Keep on doing what God's led you to do. The best way to win is to make the opponent play your game. You see, they tell you when you watch a basketball team and they're out there playing basketball, one team might be trying to make the others slow down, you know. They're good at running the court. They're good at all this. I like basketball because our kids played basketball. I never did like football too much because that was looked like two people running together and breaking all your bones is not appealing to me. But basketball's got that way. But you know what? There's always a way to win. Try to get the other team out of their game. Try to slow it down. Try to speed it up. Try to double block somebody. The best way to win is to make the opponent change his game. Now, David took on Goliath and made him change his game. The Bible says David refused to be intimidated. Oh, Goliath. Said, boy, I'm going to take you. I'm going to tear you apart. I'm going to cut your head up. I'm going to feed it to the birds. That's intimidation, isn't it? I'll tell you something, I stood up somebody that big, I think I'd have been intimidated. But can you imagine this teenage boy speaking with such boldness? He comes out and says, Goliath, in the name of God, one true God, my God, I am going to slay you. I'm going to cut your head off. Boy, I imagine old Goliath thought, who is this little fella? He's like a Benny Rooster, you see. But Goliath was twice his size, and yet David approached him with the boldness of the Lord. How do you handle your giants? What is your attitude towards your giants? David approached Goliath with confidence because the battle was not his, but God's. we've had several men in our church to have cancer. And I always love to hear when they face those oppositions of cancer with boldness. Preacher, whatever the Lord wants for my life, that's what I want. I talked to Brother Jim. Brother Jim's doing better now, but he's moving up to Fort Worth and Dallas, so he'd be closer to the treatment. And yet, he's always on an upbeat, positive note, you know? Whatever God wants, preacher. You know why? He knows that he knows God. If you knew Robert, Robert was always upbeat. I had a feeling, he told me one time that he didn't think he was going to make it, but you know what? He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to quit. Whatever God wanted, and like you know, the ultimate healing is to go on to be with the Lord. And it's how you handle those things in life what makes you a winner or not, you see? And David approached the Goliath with confidence because he knew the battle was not his, but the real battle was the Lord's. It was the Lord's battle. And David's response to the contest can be summed up in that statement. The battle is the Lord's. He knew who it belonged to. Imagine our attitude towards crisis if we believe those words. The battle is the Lord's. We say, oh, we trust the Lord. I trust God for everything. It's His, not mine. And yet when the crisis comes, so many times I've watched people turn and worry and fret and get mad at God and get mad at the church and say all kinds of things. But imagine if you really believe those words, the battle is the Lord's. We would not need to fear, would we? We wouldn't have fear any longer because we know that God is going to take care of it. What did David have that all those other Israelites didn't have? Well, David wasn't any braver than all the other soldiers. David could face Goliath because he believed that God was good. And God kept his promises. And God was the victor in the end, you see. It all belongs to God. We can face the crisis tonight in our life if we respond to it in a way that God is bigger than our problem. I believe that, folks. Our God is bigger than our problem. If we respond to the critics by just ignoring them, you see? And if we remember that the contest, our life, is really the Lord's. He can do what He wants to with it. We belong to Him. We say we are His. We say we are committed to Him. So give Him our life. Believe in God's goodness and God's strength and God's power. And if you put your faith in God's goodness, God's strength, and God's power, you'll be able to manage the crisis that you face in life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you are a great God. And Lord, there's nothing that we're going to face this year. There's nothing that we're going to face tomorrow or next week or next month that you can't handle if we'll just let you. Lord, I pray that tonight we'll remember that the battle is yours, that our life belongs to you, just like David said. And Lord, if we have a problem in our life, that we'll respond to it in a way that will be pleasing to you and rely on your strength and rely on your power. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.